Good day, my beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 16 through 20. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. When Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I am not speaking of all of you. I know those whom I have chosen. But so that the scripture might be fulfilled, the one who ate my food has raised his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send, receives me, and whoever receives me, the one who sent me. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we hear from the splendid gospel used during the Holy Thursday liturgy, detailing the washing of the apostles' feet at the Last Supper. There are several profound theological points on which to reflect in regards to today's gospel. To really appreciate it, we have to approach it from two different perspectives. First, the historical, and secondly, the mystical. Historically, the Gospel of John is interesting insofar as it is the only gospel not to mention the institution narrative of Christ. What that means is, it is the only gospel not to lay out the words that Jesus uses to change the bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. Why is John, whom we know to be a great lover of the Holy Eucharist, we know this mainly through his first letter, in which he speaks about Christ coming and water in the blood. That water in the blood, as St. Augustine reminds us, speaking specifically about baptism and Holy Eucharist. So we know St. John had a deep devotion to the Holy Eucharist, that it was central not only to his specific community of disciples that followed him after he was made a bishop and continued his ministry, but also to the entire Christian religion. So why does John not detail the institution narrative? The answer can be found with some historical context. We know that John's gospel is the last of the four gospels to be written. This is a fact for one simple reason. John was quite young when he began following Christ. He was either in his late teens or his early 20s. So he had many decades to reflect upon the life of Christ. He would not pen his gospel until years after the events of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. He had this time to really contemplate who Jesus is, to contemplate the life of Christ and the mysteries that he comes to teach us as the Messiah. This is why John's gospel is the most theologically rich of the four gospels. Mother Church has always associated John's gospel with the eagle. We know that each of the four gospels has an animal associated with it. St. Luke has the ox, which is a symbol of sacrifice, since his gospel focuses more on the sacrifice of Christ and his mission to the Gentiles. We have the human angel, which is the symbol of St. Matthew, because Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy of Christ, with the human history of Jesus's human descent. We have the lion, which is a symbol of St. Mark's gospel, reason being that Mark's gospel begins with St. John the Baptist crying out. It is the gospel of the Lion of Judah who comes to conquer sin by his passion, death, and resurrection. John's gospel is characterized by an eagle because John's gospel soars in the heights of mystery. When you read his gospel, you have a sense that you're flying. The verbiage is so profound and so beautiful. the way that he tells these specific stories pierce to the depth in such a deep way that you feel you're soaring in the heights of divinity itself. This is indicative of John's years of reflection upon the life of Christ. Thus, John will highlight different aspects of Jesus' life than the other three Gospels. He also does this because in his particular historical time period, there are different concerns in the life of the church. So we know that by the time John writes his gospel, the Eucharist is not a question in Christianity. The Eucharist is asserted as the source and summit of the Christian religion. No one doubts the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So there's no need for John in his gospel to highlight the institution narrative of Christ because it's something that's already well known. This is proven by St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in which St. Paul says, I give to you something traditional, something ancient that I have received, that on the night Jesus died, he took bread and said, this is my body. And on the night that he died, he took wine and said, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me. Is not the cup that we share a sharing in the blood of Christ? The Eucharist is already central to Christian religion by the time John pens his gospel. John's concern is very different because when John writes his gospel, we have a tension taking place between the Gentile and the Jewish Christians. So the Gentile and Jewish Christians would both celebrate the Eucharist, but typically after the Eucharist, there would be a meal, which they call the agape meal, the love feast. But at this meal, you would have different people from different traditions bringing different foods. And this, of course, was a cause for tension because in the Jewish mindset, specific foods were categorized as unclean. So if a Gentile brought pork chops to dinner and a Jewish person brought kosher meats or cheeses, then in the Jewish person's mind, the Gentile Christian has now defiled the entire Eucharistic event, has defiled the feast that is to take place after the celebration of the Holy Mass. This will remain a point of tension for many decades in the life of Christianity, and it just goes to show even more how central the Eucharist is to the Christian religion. John, therefore, in his institution narrative, in his depiction of the Last Supper, does not highlight the institution of the Holy Eucharist, but rather highlights what Christ does after the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. Here's the correlation between what the Christians are doing after they celebrate the Holy Mass. What is the point of receiving Holy Communion if immediately afterwards you're going to cuss someone out in the parking lot? What is the point of receiving Holy Communion if you do not share the same love that you have received from Christ with your brothers and sisters? St. John is asking this question of the early Christians. What is the point of receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ if you do not show that love to your Gentile brethren, to your Jewish brethren who are gathered around the table of the Lord? In the washing of the feet, we see what we are to do with the grace of Holy Communion. John is highlighting for us, through the person of Jesus Christ, what it means to be Eucharist, what it means to become what we receive, what it means to be Christianoi, Christians, other Christ. This is very important for us, my brothers and sisters, as Catholics, to ask ourselves on a regular basis, are we becoming what we receive, or is the grace of the Holy Eucharist falling into deft hands? Is the grace of the Holy Eucharist being squandered by sin, being squandered by egoism, being squandered by materialism and selfishness? The ancient church understood this through the tension of a particular principle, which they called the lex orandi and the lex credendi. Lex orandi means the law of prayer or worship. Lex credendi means the law of belief and practice. So how we pray, how we worship, affects or should affect how we believe and how we practice our faith. This is why the dignity and respect with which we celebrate the Holy Mass is central to the holiness of God's people. If liturgies are not beautiful, pious, mystical, then we are educating and catechizing our people in a way to think that the Eucharist is not important, that it is just one of the many things we do as Catholics, as opposed to the central action of Holy Mother Church. As the Second Vatican Council reminds us, there is no activity which Mother Church does more important than the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, more important than the celebration of the sacred liturgy. How we celebrate the liturgy affects how we believe. And likewise, how we receive Holy Communion in the state of grace, with hearts that are disposed to the love which Jesus desires to give us, that also is supposed to spill over outside of the four walls of that church into our own lives. We are to incarnate, to carry within ourselves, as St. Catherine of Siena reminds us, as tabernacles, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we reflect on this beautiful gospel in which St. John teaches us how to be Eucharist, he highlights the mystical aspect of what it means to follow Christ. Let us ask the Lord that we may never attend the Holy Mass in vain, that we may gaze upon his sacrifice on the holy altar from the hands of his poor priest, that we may take that sacrifice as a model and guide for our own lives, and that we may manifest by becoming Eucharist that same sacrifice in the actions of our lives. Amen.